This is the Roller Coaster Podcast, and I'm your host, Lucy Q. Life is a wild ride. It has twists and turns. It's scary, exciting, and downright fun. So throw your head back, arms in the air, and come along with me for the ride.
Life is like a roller coaster, baby, baby. I wanna ride, 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 ride.
Do you hear that whisper? That little voice that tugs at your heart, telling you to start living your best life. If that sounds like you, then now is the time to join Nectar Growth. It's the only place online where you can connect with and learn from great coaches with different areas of expertise. Why live another day not believing that you're enough, not seeing all that is possible for you? Why live another day dimming your own light? Nectar is the perfect place for you to discover the real you and uncover who you're meant to be. Life is a journey that we are not meant to walk alone. Nectar gives you a nurturing and supportive community to walk with you on your journey. Start living your best life and see what is truly possible. Come join us at nectargrowth.com. You know you're worth it.
Bye.
The pace of the world is hastening and has been for some time. It seems that the more we do, the more we have left to get done. Somewhere along the line, this unnatural pace catches up, and it can show up as burnout or chronic disease. Joining me today is Dr. Karen Kan, a doctor of light medicine, a number one international best-selling author, visionary and pioneer in the fields of healing, consciousness, and spirituality, to share the importance of just being. Welcome to the roller coaster, Karen.
Hi, Lucy. Thank you so much for asking me to be on the show.
So the question I want to start off with is, what led you to this path and exploring light medicine?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of us in this field where we go from, you know, conventional, in my case, medicine, to something relatively unconventional, natural medicine, holistic medicine. And for me, it was because I stressed myself out so much, you know, even through childhood, wanting to be the best, to get A pluses, to please my parents. And as a, you know, Chinese culture, we tend to want to do that, you know, to please our parents, to do the best we can and get really good grades at school. So there's a lot of cultural pressure to do that, especially the firstborn. I'm not sure if you knew that, but yeah, the firstborn Chinese child has a lot of pressure on him or her. And then what happened was I fell in love with medicine. I thought, well, this is great. I can help people and I can really love the science. And then I just started becoming everything to everyone and could not understand that I wasn't taking care of myself. And so I ended up burning out with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune disease, multiple chemical sensitivities, and a lot of allergies. And I was miserable and depressed and even suicidal at one point. So I realized that in Western medicine, there were limits to what I knew, even being top of the class, you know, the top 10%. I didn't have the information that I needed to heal myself. So I kind of embarked on this journey, learning about nutrition and supplements and, you know, energies and learned Reiki and, you know, learned about my superpowers, you know, psychic superpowers. And then I really started this deep healing journey, and it's been a number of years, and I'm just so happy that I had been ill, because without that, I wouldn't have discovered that my doing, you know, was not getting me anywhere, that now that I'm teaching my students, my clients, how to be more, then what happens is that the doing naturally comes out of the being, and things actually work out for us much, much faster and easier than ever before.
And I've read in different papers and also heard from different health practitioners that those autoimmune diseases that you spoke of, they do tend to come from our lifestyle rather than, you know, some genetic defect in our body.
Right, absolutely. There is such a small percentage of all the chronic illnesses that we have that come from actually genetic stuff. I mean, by and large, most of it comes from our lifestyles. In fact, some of the studies show that in twin studies, where the genes are completely, you know, the same, right, identical twins, that there'll be one twin who is, you know, healthy, going to, you know, bridge club, volunteering at the church, and they're like 80 years old. The sister, who's also 80, of course, is, you know, in bed with dementia and diapers and not able to function. And you're like, these are genetically identical people, literally, right? So why the difference? And it has to do with their mindset, has to do with their way of perceiving life and their healthy habits. So by and large, unfortunately, autoimmune disease has, you know, skyrocketed over the number of years. And people's lifestyles are now so important when it comes to health and healing.
Are you finding that more doctors are turning to unconventional ways of healing, or is there still, you know, the large percentage of doctors that are rooted in, you know, traditional conventional medicine?
Well, there was a study not that long ago that showed that the grand majority of people, not necessarily doctors, but people in general, 80% or more, were interested in or have sought out a practitioner in what we call complementary alternative medicine. So that means, you know, acupuncturists, they lump the chiropractors and massage therapists in there as well, you know, learning about nutrition. I don't know why that should be alternative. It really shouldn't. But, you know, they're lumping all those things as non-conventional medicine. And I think that some of my colleagues are getting to that point where I was getting to, maybe not burnt out, but getting to the point where they realize what they have for their patients isn't really working or not enough. And so, yeah, there's a certain percentage of them who are much more open now to like, hey, whatever you're doing, if it's working for you, keep going, right? Whereas in the past, they'd be like, oh, that's just a bunch of fluff. You know, fibromyalgia doesn't exist. You know, it's not real. It's all in your head. So I think that that old school paradigm has really begun to shift. And that's really good because we did not learn lifestyle medicine, unfortunately. We did not learn nutrition more than I think the average medical schools, like 2 hours of nutrition for their entire medical, you know, training, which is very sad. And so, you know, I think that people that have been in practice are noticing, yeah, it does make a difference. And maybe I need to be more open to what people are doing.
That's definitely encouraging to hear. Because I think, you know, traditional medicine looks at the symptoms and the problems, where these sort of different modalities look at us as whole human beings, and they look at, you know, everything that's involved. And, you know, I've started working with somebody that does Chinese acupuncture, and it was completely eye-opening to see her connect all these different dots in all these different ways. So it definitely, you know, not to say that conventional medicine should be ignored, but definitely, as you called it, you know, sort of add on enhancing what we're already doing. Now, Karen, can we get into what exactly light medicine is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are like, I talk about these three stages of understanding of how the body works and how the body heals. At the most superficial level, we do have conventional medicine, which, by the way, is very good at acute stuff. So somebody saws their leg off, people can sew it back together. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing, the new technology there. For chronic illness, if I may say so myself, since I'm a medical doctor, we suck, okay, at doing that, helping people. We actually have more chronic illness now than we did 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's very sad. So whatever we're doing in that space is not working. But here we are, we're symptom control, you know, at that top surface level. Then the second deeper level, which a lot of people are interested in, are people that are seeing the homeopath and the naturopath, the massage therapist and the Reiki therapist, the holistic nutritionist, the functional medicine person. And so they're trying to look for more root causes, you know, lifestyle, right? Like we mentioned before, huge, 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 important. Nutrition, environmental factors like electromagnetic radiation, 5G, 4G, you know, routers, cell phones, pesticides, herbicides, detoxifying the body of all these different toxins that we've imbibed in for so many decades since birth, unfortunately. And so they function at that level, very biological and somewhat emotional too. Some people are really good at helping their clients and patients heal from emotional trauma. So we have some techniques there as well. On this third level, which light medicine, I put light medicine and energy medicine down here, what we look at is the energetic patterns behind what is going on biologically. So in Chinese medicine, for example, there's an element of that. In Chinese medicine, we recognize that before the person actually has a symptom, before their kidney channel or their spleen channel is unhappy or unbalanced and they end up with swelling or pimples or whatever it is they're dealing with, there is an energetic imbalance to the blueprint, if you will. So there is a healthy, if we're healthy, a healthy blueprint that makes up every other part of our body. And we even know from science that even if you take a gene out of Drosophila, that's fruit fly, they did these experiments where they took a gene out that coded for the eyes. And interestingly, over several generations of mating these blind fruit flies, all of a sudden their children had eyes. And people are like, well, how's that happening? There's no gene for eyes. They took the gene out. So there's something other than the physical biological component that creates form in quantum physics. Everything is energy. So it makes sense in quantum physics that there's a blueprint for the eyes. Now, it did take several generations for them to be able to remember, if you will, how to make eyes without the DNA. But in the same way, in Chinese medicine, what we do is we rebalance the imbalances of energy in the body that's causing or contributing to disease. So getting to the root cause. And then the light medicine is a way in which we can actually shift and change and rework those blueprints to give you the best ones possible and even bring in new ones and positive blueprints that the person may be completely disconnected from.
So how do you actually begin to work on your blueprint?
Yeah, that's a great question. So by the time someone has some sort of illness or symptom, we already know there's a distorted blueprint or there's a blueprint missing. With the technique that I teach, it's called the Topican Healing Method, is a way we do three steps. We align, ask, and activate. The align step is where we first connect to like our still point, where we can really connect to our inner wisdom. So we teach people how to do that. And then we ask yes, no questions, and we answer it through our bodies using a technique called divine muscle testing. Similar to regular muscle testing, some people may be familiar with that term, but we do it, we teach our students how to do it on their own body so they can get a yes, no answer from their inner intuition. And then from there, we can actually ask about those blueprints. You know, for example, you know, how happy and balanced is my liver blueprint? You know, how happy and balanced is my Dantian, which is a Chinese medicine term for the place underneath the belly button that stores and converts and processes energy. And even if somebody doesn't know Chinese medicine, it doesn't matter because you can still ask the things you do know about. So when we ask how balanced it is, we actually get a percentage out of 100%. So 100% being ideal. And then, you know, less than that, less ideal. So sometimes we'll have a liver, for example, that's 70% happy. And then we'll find out that that blueprint is only 50% happy. No wonder the physical liver is not happier because the blueprint is distorted. Now, the third stage, which is the activate, we can actually use our intention and attention to wield these powerful frequencies to actually shift and rechange that blueprint back to its original state. And then we do what's called a Topican Healing Directive. We actually have charts. So I have three charts in my healing program where people can actually muscle test the answers to what they need to know. And then we actually do a directive, which is sort of like a command where we actually direct frequencies to whatever it is we want to heal. And then we recheck using muscle testing to see if it worked. And oftentimes it does. And if not, there might be something else you need to know. So we have a whole teaching program on how to do that. And so that's what I love to do is teach my students how to empower themselves to heal themselves.
When you're referring to muscle testing, I think I read in your book, you talk, is that the same as body swaying?
Body sway is one of the methodologies you can use in muscle testing. People can use their entire body. People can use two hands. People can use a single hand to muscle test. Other people use internal muscle testing where they feel the energy rising and falling in their bodies. So in the book, we talked about the simplest one to learn, which is body sway, where people get, you know, do the steps involved and then they find show me a yes, the body will sway gently forward, and then show me a no, they'll actually sway backwards when they're standing, and then they can get yes, no answers this way. It's the simplest one to teach children. They're really, really good at it.
Or adults that are a little more resisting to trying.
Adults have their mind, right? Then they go, I can't do this.
Or and then you're like, oh, did I sway? Was that just a coincidence? Is this real? Am I faking it? We do.
I know. Like, we get caught up. Question it.
We get caught up in our own heads. And I think what I'm finding is one of the hardest things is to let go and just be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, you know, that goes back to the feminine and the masculine energy is, you know, the masculine is that go, 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 that tends to get us into trouble if we don't take the pause and balance it out with the feminine energy of being.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yin, yang, you know, feminine, masculine, and you've got it completely correct. Our society rewards doing. You know, our society doesn't go, oh, good for you. You were in a state of joy all day. No. Our society goes, what did you get done? How productive were you? Right? Yeah. I got this done at this time. We got our to-do list. We got our boxes and we check them off. And I still love checking boxes. Okay. Check, 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 check. However, what I found in my experience, thankfully, due to my own illness, is that overdoing, I just don't do it anymore because I know the cost of doing that. And when I had that checklist of 20, 50 things I needed to do, I was in stress mode the whole time. And now I realize if we're in that alignment piece, if we're actually connecting to our inner stillness, if you will, our inner intuition in that being place, then fascinatingly, things get done faster and more efficiently because it's almost like the universe conspires to give you what you want based on your frequency. I know this is like total deep quantum physics stuff, but there is, you know, some evidence out there that how we vibrate or resonate, our nervous systems are like that conduit between the unseen world and the seen world. And so we can shift and change our outer world by shifting and changing our state of being, whether we're being stressed or we're truly being in a state of calm and peace and joy.
And it's something that I've started playing with is that being versus doing, because for so long I had been, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And it was just, and how I was finding it was affecting me is that my brain wouldn't stop at night. I may be able to fall asleep, but then I would wake up. And the minute I would wake up, it was like go time. Even if it was like, if I'd been asleep for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and then I'd be awake for 2 or 3 hours.
Oh no.
and it was, I was just caught in this constant battle, and I'm still working through it. But that's when I started playing around with the being versus doing. And it was funny because this past Sunday, I said, I've got the whole day. I don't have to do anything. But anytime I did something, I tried to find, say, the greater purpose for it. Like, say I was doing laundry. And it was, okay, I'm going to do this laundry and it's going to bring me more peace this week because I'm going to not have to worry about what I'm going to wear. So I don't know if it makes any sense, but I was just kind of the things that I did choose to do, I was choosing to do for a different reason than I got to get it done.
And what right, like you're bringing consciousness to your doing, which is a fantastic step than just doing out of rote memory or habit.
And what I found was, I think I got up at 6:30 in the morning. And just because of the way I was approaching things, I looked at the clock and I felt like I'd gotten, you know, 8 hours worth of stuff done. And I looked at the clock and it was only noon.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well done.
And it's something, okay, it's a little bit easier to do on the weekends because, you know, you don't have that, like you said, that punching of a clock. You got to get things done because somebody's watching. So it's a little bit easier to practice on the weekends. I'm just trying to figure out how I can bring that into my work week. So do you have any suggestions and recommendations on how we can bring that state of being into not just our weekends, but every day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. This is an area that I've struggled with in the past, as you know, and I am a very busy person. I love being busy. So I am doing a lot. So when people watch me, they're like, oh my God, like, how can she do everything she does? But the way I'm doing it is very different from before. And it's a much healthier way to do it. I personally am not, let's just say, I choose not to be really, really good at sitting meditation. Although there are massive benefits to meditation, from blood pressure regulation to, you know, stress, heart disease, you know, pain levels, you know, there's all this data out there that meditation is absolutely for the highest and greatest good for our health. However, my personality, I just never really committed to it. It just wasn't part of my personality to sit there for 30, 40, 60 minutes at a time doing mindful breath work. Or, you know, if anything, I could do a yoga class, but don't ask me to just sit there and mind my breath. I just could not make myself do it. And I was making myself feel guilty for not doing it. My spiritual teacher said it was a good idea. She was very gentle about it. But I just, you know, I just couldn't make myself do it. So then I found this technique called quantum entrainment by Frank Kinslow. And it really is very, very simple. I got it from his book, Secrets of Instant Healing. And of course, I like the book's name, Instant. So that's why I bought it. And it was really about diving into the state of being. And I was like, okay. So I do this technique and I was like, well, I'm just feeling energy in my body. That's interesting. So I just started playing around with it. And what I found was my life started to change. I started to become luckier. Like, things would just automatically start healing themselves without me necessarily getting into a healing modality or things like that. And I was like, this is kind of cool. I had all this financial success, you know, success on telesummits. And you know what? I got so busy, Lucy, doing that I forgot the technique. I just stopped doing it. And then I realized after months had gone by that things started becoming a struggle again. Like, I had to push to get things done. And I recognized that feeling of, whoa, something's off here. Why am I not getting the luck that I was getting earlier? I'm doing all the right things. Then I realized, oh, I stopped that practice. Now, here's the cool thing about the practice is that it only takes a few seconds. And you can do it for a minute here, a minute there, in between things. You don't have to sit there for 30, 40, 60 minutes to get the benefits of it. So I recommitted to doing it. And then one day, one of my clients says, I don't get it. I don't get what he's saying in this book. So I thought, okay, how do I teach it differently? So what I told him to do, and everyone, you know, who's listening, you can actually even try it out right now, is I had him feel the energy running in his body. So we just had them rub their hands together. So he rubbed his hands together. I said, okay, just close your eyes. And I said, well, can you feel the pulse or the movement inside your skin, you know, where your hands are rubbing? He goes, yep. I said, okay, we'll just follow where it goes. Focus on the feeling, follow where it goes. He goes, okay. And said, don't judge it. Just let it be wherever it is. And he described, okay, it's going here. It's going here. I said, well, try to open your eyes and see if you can still feel the feeling. And he goes, yeah, I can still feel it. I said, great. That's it. And he goes, that's it. I said, yeah, that's it. Just feel the frequency and vibration or movement, if you will, in your body whenever you have 2 seconds, you know, whenever you think about it. Like, for example, I'm talking to you, Lucy, and I am completely paying attention as well to this ebb and flow and this movement inside my body as I'm talking to you, my vocal cords are resonating, you know, in my chest. I can feel movement here. I can feel movement in my hands because I just rubbed them. And that's it. We pay attention to our bodies for 1, 3 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes at a time. And you can disperse that, or sorry, intersperse that throughout your day and make meditation basically a very easy practice.
So that's it. You're just taking a minute just to feel what your body's feeling.
Right, exactly. You just tune in and see if you can find where the movement is. Now, some people are not that body aware. I get it. And so for them, that's why we say, you know, rub your hands, clap your hands, move your feet, like jump up and down if you need to, close your eyes, and then just focus on the inside of the body and feel the energy running. And we have the instructions in both my Sensitivity is Your Superpower book. That's chapter 4. It's so important for highly sensitive people to learn how to be that we have it as a very, very pivotal chapter in this book. And I also have a chapter around it in this book, Navigating the Clickety Clack. And I'm a, this is a compilation book, multiple authors, including some famous people like Jack Canfield, Christy Whitman, and Bob Proctor, talking about how we can stay in calm amidst chaos. You know, how do we stay peace-filled in a seemingly toxic world? So this is the technique that I teach all of my clients and students. And it kind of puts you in almost an automatic healing state of being. So sometimes, you know, what I did this in a workshop one time, staff at the prestigious Omega Institute in New York. And five of them had some sort of physical pain. I just taught them this technique. They did it. They rubbed their hands. They closed their eyes. They felt the energy running in their body. We did that for about 3 to 5 minutes. And at the end of that, I said, raise your hand if you still have pain. Not a single person raised their hand.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you if that involved, you know, acknowledging where you're holding tension in your body, because a lot of us, you know, whether we're clenching our jaw or, you know, you're holding your shoulders tight, or it could be lower back pain, you know, we're holding tension in our body. So is that technique involve acknowledging where we're holding tension and releasing it, or is it just being aware that it's there?
Yeah, you don't have to do any of that. Now, if somebody, you know, their focus goes to a tense area, that's fine. I usually say, well, is there flow there? Is there something flowing, moving there? Is there not? If there isn't, that's okay too. Just kind of check it out for a few seconds or a minute and then move on to another place. And so if people have noticing attention in their body, they can just pay attention to that area and see what happens. They don't have to try to make anything happen. They don't have to consciously acknowledge anything. They don't have to try to release it or relax it. Nope. All they do is they pay attention to whatever they feel in their bodies.
So it's just, I have tension in my shoulders. My neck is sore, and you just approach it basically without judgment.
Right. It's important not to have the judgment there. So we want to get the energy moving so that you have something to pay attention to. So once people rub their hands, close their eyes, you actually feel something moving here, like almost like little waves. And then you just pay attention to that movement. And even if you are like, oh my gosh, I'm getting distracted, my neck's so tight, you know, then you can just look for movement wherever the issue is, just to be curious. Is there movement there? Isn't there movement there? Do I just feel it in my hands? Or is all I'm feeling this thing I'm calling tension, right? And so in this way, you're not trying to do anything, you're just paying attention.
And somehow, by being aware of what we're feeling, we are able to manifest things.
Right. That's kind of a you know, more advanced conversation. I actually have a chapter in the other book, The Sensitivity is Your Superpower book, on this technique for what we call masterful manifestation. The technique that I just described is called STOEM, stillness through observing internal movement. And it's really, really good for busy doing addicted people.
Because you can probably be most people.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. I mean, some people are really, really good. Like they're really good at, they love any excuse to like sit still and just like meditate. I mean, they're on it, right? I know a friend of mine that meditates 2 hours a day and I'm like, really?
No, I'm good at 10. 10, that's it. I'm good. And I have to listen to something. I have to listen to,
so we
like
all
a chant.
Find our different ways. What I noticed in working with, you know, over 4,600 healing sessions that I've done on various people over the years is that we can actually do divine muscle testing and just check how much of their energy is actually housing or resonating in their physical body. And you would be shocked and surprised to know, maybe not, that there's a lot of people running around with their energy out here. It's not actually here. And when they wonder, well, why is my pain not getting better? Why is my autoimmunity not getting better? How come, you know, I have this issue and this issue? Here's the thing. If your energy is actually not in the body, you don't have enough qi, or energy in Chinese medicine called qi. You don't have enough energy to make changes on a physical level. So we actually have to be here now in our bodies in order for physical three-dimensional changes to actually occur. And that's the nice side effect of doing this STOEM practice, is that the more we be, even for seconds at a time throughout the day, the more likely that we're actually going to be automatically healing parts of our bodies, but also other parts of ourselves, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
The more we practice being, does it get easier over time?
I believe so. It's funny because, and I can say that initially, and that's why I stopped doing it when I first learned the technique, and 7 months later had all this success and then stopped doing it because I forgot, because it was free and it was easy. And I was like, can't be that valuable, right? I mean, the subconscious mind says, well, it can't be that valuable. You didn't pay $10,000 for it, you know? Right. But what I've noticed is that people who do commit to doing that being, a little bit at a time throughout the day, they have the best results of everyone. You know, like Marion, for example, I work with, and she allowed her to be a case study. She had all sorts of stuff going on. She's super, super sensitive. She was itchy all the time. She was sick all the time. She was a cough all the time. And she's in business. Like, she is a business, you know, executive recruiter. So she is not just very busy, but she's in a high level, high stress job. And after we work together, she is now able to do all her testing and healing on her own. Of course, I help out with, you know, the tough stuff that she deals with. And she's no longer sick all the time. She has the energy like of herself 20 years younger. She's not in pain all the time, you know, and she is now able to do her own testing, guru level healing, if you will. And by the way, she's earning 3 times more money than she did before we started working together. And we didn't even work on finances.
Wow.
It was just a natural outcropping of her being.
And is that where the synchronicities come into play then?
Well, synchronicities, especially for those that are not, you know, used to using that term, what we're talking about is like meaningful coincidences. So some people will notice like repeating numbers. Other people will notice, hey, I just had the thought about such and such, and then something came in the mail that was exactly answering my question. Now, of course, these days it's hard to know whether it's because your smartphone's listening to you. And maybe that's why you have that commercial come on. So that happens as well. But these synchronicities seem to be when we are in a flow, when these meaningful, positive coincidences are in a flow. So I'm in flow much more than I was when I was sick. Let me tell you, Lucy. So I can literally, this sounds very silly, but I want to share the story. I will literally think to myself, you know, I'll be like, oh, you know what? I could really use some underwear. And I really like this brand. So I go, okay, I say, and I do this for fun, right? And I go into being and I say to the universe, all right, give me a coupon for the underwear. And all I need to do is just look in my email, like just pay attention. And inevitably, all of a sudden the coupon comes in, underwear sale, you know, 20% off or whatever. I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and it's, after a while, it just becomes normal. I mean, this sounds kind of weird to most people, but it becomes normal to just, you know, ask for stuff and then it just happens. And in chapter 13 in my Sensitivity is Your Superpower book, we actually teach people how to influence the weather. And so it's using our own innate human abilities to see and experience what it is we want in that state of being. So you go into being first, then you see, feel with your body what it is you desire, and then you stick with that. No matter what the news says, no matter what anybody else says, you just stick with your knowing of what it feels like to have the weather you want, and you will. Now, sometimes it's not possible to do weather magic because Mother Earth needs to rebalance herself, but other times you have a say. So I used to, for example, we would go, you know, African drumming on Tuesday nights. And if it was raining like cats and dogs, which would be dangerous for our drums to be wet because they're made of leather, you know, I'll just say to the universe, okay, I know it's raining cats and dogs right now, but thank you for clearing up the weather when we get home so we can unload these. So I see in my mind, unloading the drums, it's completely dry, right? So that's what I see in my mind for like a few seconds. At this point, it's very fast. So it'd be raining. We get to the top of the hill towards my house, and literally like 2 minutes from my house, completely stops raining. It was raining a minute ago. You know, it completely stops raining. We get to our house, unload, you know, all the drums, and I go, thank you very much. And then we close the door, and then 10 minutes later, you know, it starts raining again. Wow. So this is a magical and really fun way to live. It's super, super, really, really fun. So I encourage people to really, you know, do the being more, because the doing is, you know, less painful.
There's definitely no downfall to trying it. So you may as well.
Yeah, give it, a shot. It doesn't cost anything. You know, we even have a free like 27-minute training, you know, on it called the STOEM, Stillness on the Fly. I call it stillness on the fly because it's like what you were talking about earlier, how you can be like busy during the day doing stuff, but not necessarily want to set aside the time to sit there and meditate, right? So you can actually kind of intersperse this being in between what you're doing or while you're doing. And then you literally get your meditating done all day long, little by little.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, Karen, as we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom for our listeners?
Sure. Everyone has the ability to, you know, tap in to their innate, you know, superpowers or gifts, the ability to, you know, to heal, to tap into their intuition, to manifest or create things that they only have in their minds. And that's how we get anywhere, you know, as society. You know, people think of an idea and then they make it happen, right? And if we can be while we do and while we have that vision, naturally things will come into our awareness that are going to help us in that space. So we don't have to struggle. Struggle is, you know, pain is life sometimes, but struggle is optional.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. So we can be experiencing life with more grace and ease, and that's available to everyone, no matter what the circumstances are.
Great advice. And where is the best place for people to connect with you and grab copies of either your books?
Okay, thank you so much. KarenCann.com is the simplest place. So that's my main website. And there's actually the banner near the top. There's actually a link to the Sensitivity is Your Superpower book. And we have the what we call the launch special is still going. So there's $1,000 in bonuses, including instructions, MP3s, MP4s, healing, meditations, things like that. They're absolutely free with the purchase. So whether people purchase it from Amazon or whether they get the ebook version on my website, they can go back to KarenCann.com and get those bonuses. And they'll be automatically, you know, emailed to you, and you'll have the page where you can download all these bonuses. And then you get on my mailing list, and we have regular, what I call mini healings every month. I do a YouTube video every week, a little mini training video. If people are into light medicine or into energy healing, then that might be something they want to do as well. It's just check in on those weekly newsletters.
I highly recommend grabbing a copy of Karen's book. I did that, and I also took advantage of those $1,000 worth of bonuses you offer. So I still have those yet to explore. But Karen, thank you so much for joining me. Oh, and before I forget, if you are looking at connecting with Karen, make sure you check out the show notes. I will have all of the links in there. And Karen, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Lucy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roller Coaster Podcast. Want to chat or share your ideas about today's show? Pop me an email at hello@therollercoasterpodcast.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at The Roller Coaster Podcast. Our theme song, Roller Coaster, was performed by The Lucky Setback. Audio editing by the one and only Jeff Quigley of Quigley Creative.
Life is like a roller coaster, baby, baby. I wanna ride, 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 ride. Life is like a roller coaster, baby.